where did that idea of dog mad blondes come from?
Well, I mean, I've always been interested in, you know, violence in women. I play sports, or I did when I was younger, and so tapping into that aggression, the idea of female aggression was interesting to me, the idea of female power and power dynamics. But the idea of blonde killers came from a Gucci ad spread where this gang of blondes just looked absolutely malicious and as if they were going to attack. You know, they were modeling, you know, kind of safari wear. But they had, you know, the eyeliner as if to give them sunken eyes. And I just thought, that's it. Those are the blondes. They're about to turn into a murderous gang.
At first, I just started to laugh. And then it just got,
that's
it got
good.
Creepier and creepier as it went along.
Yeah, and for me, I don't know, laughter and creepiness, I guess, are connected in some way. I want both of those reactions, for sure.
The central character, Hazel, let's talk about her.
Okay.
Because she's finds herself in an unfortunate situation, which is not terribly uncommon, although a little cliched, I have to say. Not
Uh-oh.
That this was a cliche of the book, but, you know, knocked up by your university, you know,
professor. Well, Hazel isn't supposed to be the most worldly woman in the world, so she's gotten herself into this situation where she's been having an on and off affair with her thesis advisor, and in some ways that's maybe how he's become her thesis advisor. She couldn't, you know, catch another one because she isn't a very good academic, but she, you know, she stumbles into the relationship and she realizes that she's pregnant, and she's doing research for her thesis in New York when she realizes it, and the question is, will she tell him, and is she going to go home to Toronto and deal with the pregnancy? But there are blonde attacks everywhere, so that makes everything a little more complicated for her.
It's funny. So you knew that you were going to have a plague of this. I mean, you could have done a lot more creepier plagues, but it's kind of a funny idea for a plague. So what? Why did you deliberately juxtapose the funny part of it and the horror part of it?
I think that's an interesting question. I wanted to explore why we aren't afraid of women, because there's certainly a lot to be afraid of.
God, I'm terrified of them. So.
But in general, as a society, I mean, men are the violent ones, men are the ones that commit these heinous crimes. And so to show women suddenly doing it, I thought was just an interesting thing to look at. As far as the humor, I guess I don't like literature that takes itself too seriously. And I thought that there needed to be a light element to the book as well.
Are you writing a satire?
I think it is a bit of a satire, yeah.
You've got quite a mischievous gleam in your eye when you talk about the book.
Well, I think it's a mischievous book a little bit. Don't you think so?
Yes, yeah. but I didn't figure you would own up to it.
Yeah, but I mean, I also take it seriously. I think that there are really important issues in it as well. So, I mean, it's playful, but it's also exploring a lot of questions about how we function, about how we view women, about, you know, blonde versus brunette, about Canada versus the United States, about beauty, about power, about men and women.
Carl, the father of the unborn.
Carl's not a great guy.
To say that he's no, not
no.
at all. And I got the distinct feeling that Hazel was just one of
many
that
in a long line.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, that's what I mean when I say that Hazel's not too worldly. You know, she's a young person who in some ways has been taken advantage of, but has yet to realize it. And, you know, she's finding these things out. And the person she'll emerge as by the end of the book is a little more experienced and a little more enlightened.
She ends up taking refuge with the last person you expect her to, who is...
She winds up trapped in a cottage with Carl's wife. So the wife of the man she's been sleeping with. And she'll be staying in that cottage with her for several months.
And those chapters are really claustrophobic.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's what I was hoping for.
I was like, I want to get this chapter over. I got to get out. Oh, good. We're back in the past. I can breathe. All I have to worry about is being attacked by rabid blondes now.
That's exactly what I wanted. I wanted for, you know, the isolation and the relationship between two people to suddenly become more terrifying than what's happening out there in the world that's been created with the plague.
To me, being able to write something that's literary that is a joy to read. For a lot of people growing up in school, that was an oxymoron. You were forced to read these horrible, heavy books. And now people like you are writing literary work that's highly engaging, and it's a great page-turner. Why are you doing it, and what do you think's happening?
I don't know. I guess when I sit down to write, I want to make sure that I'm writing about something. And so there has to be some kind of a premise that's going to catch within the first few pages and hopefully drive the book. But it also, it has to be, you know, interesting enough for me to work my way through 400 pages of it. I mean, just like the reader, except as the writer, I'm going to have to rewrite those 400 pages a bunch of times. So, I mean, really, that's my main drive as the writer. I have to entertain myself for those 400 pages.
The book is The Blondes. It's a novel. I've been speaking with the author, Emily Schultz, and The Blondes, published by Doubleday Canada.